Shabbat Shalom. When I was a kid at Camp Ramah, I would lie on the top bunk in my cabin. All the lights were out except for the flashlight that our counselor held. And we all closed our eyes and sung the words of the Shema together. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha mechol levavecha uvechol nafshecha uvechol meodecha. It was a powerful experience for me, but I'm not sure that at the time I knew what the Ve'ahavta meant. It was like a bedtime lullaby, a ritual, something to help us fall asleep. Years later, I learned that the part of the Shema prayer that begins with the word Ve'ahavta is all about love. Ve'ahavta, and you shall love Adonai, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This concept of loving God was not difficult for me as a child. I felt connected. But loving God is actually a complex and difficult idea. After all, how can we be told to love? Isn't love just something we just feel or don't feel? How can we be commanded to love? And how can we be commanded to love God? We don't even see God. We are always defining what God is. It seems like a near impossible commandment. But the Ve'ahavta, the very text that commands us to love God, also gives us the answer as to how. It turns out that love can be cultivated if it isn't automatic. Just like learning to express gratitude or becoming more mindful, love needs to become a practice. Some days it comes easy and some days it's a struggle. It's easy to love people who are close to us when we're sharing a nice meal and relaxing together, but it's difficult when stressful factors get in the way. The Ve'ahavta teaches us how to love God through bringing Torah close to us in three ways. First, by creating physical reminders of our covenant with God. Second, by repeating the words of the Shema and more broadly the words of Torah all day long. And third, by teaching all of this to the next generation. And just a note for those of us who find the very concept of God difficult to reconcile or even believe in. This text still has deep meaning when thought of as a guide for how to foster a profound and lasting love of Torah and the ethics and values Torah brings to our lives and to the world. So let's look at the first one. We cultivate love by creating physical reminders of our covenant with God. Just as some of us wear wedding rings or carry around photos of our loved ones, we are also instructed to create physical reminders of our connection to God. We inscribe the words of the Shema, which includes the Ve'ahavta text as a part of it, on pieces of parchment to be placed inside mezuzot, which we place on our doorposts. And when we look at a mezuzah, we know that the words of the Ve'ahavta are nestled in the shell, and we're reminded of the instruction to love God. Likewise, we are instructed to enclose this text into the tefillin, or phylacteries, that some of us wrap around our arms and affix to our foreheads. We literally bind up these words into physical objects, just as the Torah understood that we would need to. Because without the concrete physical marker to interact with, the abstract concept of loving God as a cultivated practice is really hard to grasp. This is a transformative concept. It stems from Torah's understanding that words are powerful and manifest our commitment. Heschel reminds us We shall never be able to understand that the Spirit is revealed in the form of words unless we discover the vital truth that speech has power and that words are commitments. The second idea is that we repeat the words of love all day long. We are commanded to recite the Shema throughout the day. The Ve'ahavta may have started as a manifestation of feelings into words, but the repetition of the words can actually create the feelings. That is to say, we create community through language. We give names to that which we hold sacred. And the Ve'ahavta gives us the words for how we are supposed to understand God through action, through mitzvah, and through love. In this way, the prayer becomes a sort of verbal mezuzah. We touch it throughout the day, and we're reminded of the basic precepts of what it is to be Jewish. As W. Gunther Plaut, the editor of the Torah commentary that we use right here in our synagogue, writes, "It is our attention to the mitzvot that will make us, as well as others, aware of the one in whose name they are performed. And the greater our devotion and concentration upon the mitzvah and its giver, the more likely we will be to enter into the context of pure love." This is, in fact, the definition of a central concept in Judaism that we call na'aseh v'nishma. We will first do it, and then we'll understand the meaning of what we have done. However, there's an intrinsic challenge to this practice. On the one hand, we respect the power of words, and yet frequent repetition can make these words seem less special. It raises an interesting question. If we walk around saying, "I love you, I love you, I love you," does it risk becoming a rote repetition? Do the words become any less true? As my former singing teacher used to like to say, practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. So it might seem that repeatedly affirming our love makes our love less significant, but in fact, the repeated thoughts make a physical difference in our brains, leaning to a configuration that allows us to more easily fulfill the teaching. And finally, we come to our third instruction about how to love God. That is, we love God through teaching Torah to our children and to the next generation. The Ve'ahavta tells us, "You shall love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Take to heart these instructions with which I charge you this day. Impress them upon your children." We can't all live forever. Our words need to carry our deepest beliefs, hopes, and prayers into the future, to the next generation. Moses looks over the mountain to the promised land that he could never enter. And he is nearing his death. So he goes back down the mountain to tell the commandments to the people. The words, the teachings, need to survive him. And that is what the Ve'ahavta does, too. We use the words first for ourselves in helping to build our own identities, but then we ultimately teach the next generation to do the same. The Ve'ahavta teaches us how to embody love for God through reminding ourselves and then the next generation to ground our lives in Torah. And this is what the rabbis of the Talmud meant when they said, "Whoever teaches their children also teaches their children's children, and so on to the end of generations of humankind." Each night, I get to hear the sweet sound of my own children's voices sing out the words of the Shema and the Ve'ahavta at bedtime, just as I did beginning at Camp Ramah, and I catch a glimpse of the love of God and Torah living on into the next generation. Today is a special day in the Jewish calendar. It is Tu B'Av, our answer to the secular date of Valentine's Day. Tu B'Av was a day marked with matchmaking and courtship in ancient days, and is now a day that celebrates love, especially in Israel. The Ve'ahavta expresses our commitment of love to God and Torah, a commitment that we pass from generation to generation. Shabbat Shalom.